This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about the tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Mattoon, and today I have not only one friend, but I have two friends here to help me help you. Dia and Meg Frampton, hello.
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 Can you guys harmonize a hello?
Hello.
I'm on the spot.
I was going for it. Why weren't you going for it with me? Let's do it again.
Hello.
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 Oh. Hello.
Wow, this
that
is
was
beautiful.
Interesting.
Because oh, I guess it's really hard because
you kind of have to stop.
You're right. That didn't make a lot of sense.
You have to stop in order to harmonize?
Well, we were trying to do like a barbershop harmony where there's like seven on top of each other, but there's only two of us. So it kind of just ended up being not harmony, just us singing up a scale.
No, when we were listening to your podcast, we were listening to the intro song, and I was like, Meg, we should write her an acoustic little intro song for a special podcast occasion when we're here.
I love that.
We'll do it for
you. Well, here's a guitar.
I don't have one.
That I do feel like I am the only one that doesn't have the talent of singing in here, and that may be true. If you were to give someone singing advice that can't sing, what would you say?
Oh my gosh, I feel like your speaking voice is so sexy and like kind of raspy. Like I feel like you would be a really good singer if you...
Then why can't I?
Have you tried? How many times have you really tried?
But like, well, a lot, I think. Maybe I just don't have it. Do you think you can teach singing or do you think you have to be born with it?
I think you can definitely teach singing.
Oh, for sure.
I actually was not born a good singer. I had terrible pitch. I couldn't sustain notes. I didn't have vibrato. I still go to lessons as often as I can afford. I'm just constantly working. But I do think if you have a good speaking voice and you can project like you, then you're already half the battle is won.
Oh my gosh. Okay, great. I'm so confident now. Okay, maybe I'll try. I found something on YouTube. It was like a YouTube video that was teaching scales, I think. And I would do it in bed right before I went to bed. It was like a ritual that I tried to like implement for like a week. And then I just gave up because I was like, I don't think I can do this.
You know, there's so many dancers that can transition to singing too because you're already so in tune with your body and you have that kind of breathing with your body that I feel like you would pick it up pretty fast.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah. I was told from an early age that I was tone deaf, and I believed it for a long time. But then I play Heads Up with my friend, and there's one category that's like play it DJ or something like that. And then my friend doesn't know any of the lyrics, and I'm like a lyric queen, so she does melodies, but she's perfect pitch. So it's easy for me to hear because like she's so great. But other than that, like I can't really do anything musically.
Don't say negative things.
Okay, you're right. I can. If you guys listening haven't figured out, Meg and Dia are singers from the band Meg and Dia. You guys recently played Vans Warped Tour. Is that right?
Yes. We played New Jersey. By the time this comes out, we will have played San Francisco, which is tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's been fun. Our first Vans Warped Tour was back in 2006, so it's kind of a trip.
Whoa.
It's been a long time.
Wow, that was the last time you were performing.
We played it for 3 years. I think the last year was 2008, but we did it for 3 years.
Yeah, so this time we we're trying to get back into the swing of things, get back into the vibe. So I wore this really dark, like, eyeshadow and eyeliner, and we wore all black and, like, tried to be all punk rock. And
yeah.
then we're like, this isn't working so much. So the next show, we're like, let's get back into our normal clothes and be, like, in our 30s and, like, sing and play how we play and sing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So when you put, like, you wore black and put makeup on because that's how you wanted to be seen or because you felt like it would take you to the next level? Like, what was the...
Oh, just because... We wanted to feel part of Warped Tour. Like, Warped Tour is just punk rock. Like, everybody's an eyeliner and, like, cutoffs and, yeah. like, really hardcore, you know? And so we were thinking, let's be hardcore and, like, tough too, you know? Because that's how we tried to be back when we played it
yeah.
years ago. But it just was not comfortable because it was right. not us anymore.
Ooh, and it you know? Used to be.
Yeah. Well, kind of a little bit.
It's interesting, like, I would love to hear your take on this because a lot of times, like, I feel like I, as a creative, like, kind of molding yourself into kind of what will work for other things versus yeah. having things come naturally to you and stand your ground and stand your power of being your individualistic self versus, you know, like, shifting and putting yourself in a box so that people can easily digest it.
Totally. Like, another thing that we had to do, speaking of that, was on that last Warped Tour, the first Warped Tour day, every other band was like, hey, Warped Tour, welcome to, you know, the show, and just shouting and yelling at the audience.
Yeah.
And, like, Dee and I were like, okay, should we do that? But, like, our thing is, like, awkward banter.
Yeah.
So we had to be like, no, let's do what we do. You know,
yeah.
it's constantly, like... This is how we're expected to be, and then we'll kind of try it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't work, and then we just go back to how we are.
Right.
You know?
But I think that's so powerful because a lot of people that are starting in this industry or wanting to be creative or wanting to express themselves on a grander scale, like, you're kind of pushed into trying that. And it's also, on the other hand, of, like, being open enough to try that instead of being so stuck in your ways. So it's good to kind of play with that and then realize what's comfortable for you and stick at it.
Yeah. I feel like it's taken us a long time to figure out who we are.
Same.
Just being in your 30s and kind of still realizing you don't have it figured out.
Well, you're constantly changing. Especially
yeah.
like if you go through a quarter life crisis like I did.
Like we
then
all
you
do.
Change.
yeah.
yeah. Then you change into a different thing. So you're trying to figure out who you are in your 20s and you finally kind of get a hold on it and then something happens to you. Then you change again. And it's like, maybe you don't have to define yourself.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, truly. And, like, you don't have to label things. Like,
yeah.
even if you're, like, something I learned recently that I'm still, like, trying to implement into my brain is, like, when you have emotions, like, those emotions don't define you.
Mm.
That's just, like, what's happening to you.
Yes.
That's what you're experiencing you.
Like, yeah. I am not jealous. I am feeling jealousy.
I'm feeling jealousy. I'm not sad. I'm feeling sadness.
Yeah, sadness is present.
Right. And the thing is, like, accepting it, not trying to push it away because
yeah.
the more you resist, the more it persists.
Totally.
Like, it will never go away if you ignore it.
So
it'll
going through
always,
that right now.
Yeah. And so, like, something is, like, if you're feeling these emotions, just kind of, like, let them, like, drip over you, almost, like, swim with them in, like, a very, like, bohemian way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, don't bathe in them.
Yeah.
You know, let them, like, drip off.
Totally.
Totally. But I think also, like, what you're saying about of changing if something happens to you, if you don't change, that's the issue. Like,
yeah,
change
so
is
true.
Good.
So true.
Evolving is changing. And so if you don't want to change, you're never going to evolve.
It's so hard to change, though. I feel like my acting teacher was talking about how people really say they want to change, but deep down they love the comfort of what's familiar, even though it's not safe. And people only change when, what was it, the pain of staying the same was too much than the pain of changing.
Right.
Or, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I did not say it as eloquently as she did, but yes.
No, that makes it so much sense. I think I saw a meme the other day that was like, it was supposed to be a quote from the universe, but it said, I had to make you uncomfortable or you wouldn't move, the universe.
I still feel that.
I was like, yes.
I am. So much truth to that statement.
So much. But going back to Warped Tour, Dia, you were the tour manager for Warped Tour. Is that right?
She basically is.
Yeah.
I was trying to be, but Dia, let's face it, you were.
Yeah.
That's the truth of the situation. Even though I'm older, too. Like, you still take care of all of us.
I'm very much a mother to everybody, which is a problem. I think it gets in my way. No, it gets in my way with Meg and I's relationship. It's gotten in my way in romantic relationships. I'm just that person who's like, the theater's cold. I think you need a sweater.
Oh.
No, you need a sweater. And that's my kind of MO, and it's annoying to people. I'm trying to change.
Oh my gosh, that's where it starts. Being wanting to change is the start of change.
True.
So that's great. Well, there's also nothing wrong with being loving. That's true. Do you think that it's really hard to switch hats from being singing in artistry to like the business and like the logistics of tour managing? Or is that something that comes really natural to you?
I actually think it's really hard. And I've been more stressed than I have in a long time because we're with an indie label right now, and they're great, but this is actually my fifth record label. So I feel like I've kind of seen a lot of the business with being with a small indie label like Doghouse, then Warner Brothers, then Universal, and all these different homes. And it's frustrating to see the business side of it, to try to get songs placed in film and TV, or to set up our own publicity or interviews and things like that. And it's hard, but it's fun when things come together like this. I was telling you that we really wanted to do this podcast, yeah. And this was the thing that we were excited about and we liked listening to. Oh, side note, I was listening to your podcast the other day, and I realized that you guys were both cheerleaders, and I thought that was really funny. Because I'm sitting with two Megs, and they're two cheerleaders, and I was like, what? Why? Ooh.
What was your position in cheerleading?
I was a bass.
Which one? Main bass, side bass.
I was a back, like the back. The
back spot.
Back spot.
Oh, yes. You're
held
tall.
The ankles and threw them up. Yeah. And yeah.
Throw those ankles.
Were you a flyer?
Well, in the sixth grade I was, but then your girl hit puberty and then I was on the ground. Stop. It was a main bass. But I killed it. I was bomb ass main bass.
Nice.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's really hard to describe to people the intensity of the cheerleading that I did. I don't know if you did competitive cheerleading.
Yeah, we did.
But like, it's so different. And I'm telling people, it's not like what you see in Greece. It's not High School Musical. It's not like the football cheerleaders, you know, pro. It's real. It's really hard. And I think like the NCAA listed it as the most dangerous sport in like 2012.
What? Because all the people that all the girls that were getting dropped.
We have more injuries than like pro football players.
Oh my God.
Did you ever get injured?
I had a concussion, yeah.
From cheerleading?
Yeah, someone dropped me.
Oh,
well, I would say five people dropped me because that's how many people were underneath.
I would feel so terrible if I dropped somebody.
Five people dropped you?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, why did you first get into cheerleading? Like, what made you want to do that? Because I got asked that question the other day and I was like, I don't want to answer you honestly.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, is the answer boys? Was it boys?
It was for me. But yeah. What was it for you?
God, I can't remember. I don't even think I saw a boy until the sixth grade. What was it? I honestly don't know. I think maybe my sister wanted to do it and we were so close. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then I ended up really loving it, especially like the competitive nature of it.
Yeah.
I don't think, yeah. I would love a real answer, like one that I can pinpoint. Boys is a great answer because that's, you know that. I don't know why I started.
But it seemed like you got way more serious because Meg did it through high school and stopped and dated some hot guys.
I did it for 2 years.
Dated
some hot guys.
Yeah.
But you're like a professional dancer, so it must have been a different kind of situation. Yeah. But Meg wouldn't have dropped you.
That's so
let's just
nice.
Throw that out there.
I really hope that I wouldn't have.
She would have been your strong bass.
It was my backspot's fault. Because they're almost like the last line of defense before the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this I will say is real, is right before, I was doing a Liberty, which for everyone that doesn't know a Liberty, is you're standing on one leg and your other leg is in a posse, like a flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was this one, this stunt or another one, but the thing about being a flyer is like, you're on the ground for a second and then you're not in the ground and you can't hear anybody anymore. So like what I had done, this is so embarrassing, but here we go. I was young. We all have gas. I like launched off the ground, but at the same time with like gusto, I had let out like some gas. And then I couldn't, you know, I wasn't there to defend myself. I was up in the air. So maybe they were like, nah, this bitch is going to do that in front of us. She's going on the ground.
Oh, no.
So I could, who knows why.
Oh my God.
Or I had terrible balance. It was one or the two.
Oh my
Either way,
gosh.
I guess it was my fault.
No.
No.
That was not your fault.
You said that, Meg, you dated a lot of hot guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't say like during my cheerleading years. Yeah, I would say there was a basketball player. Ooh, so it was like your typical role.
I was kind of like the nerdy young sister who these Hawkeyes would come like wait in the door for Meg, and I was like, hi. 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 Do you want water?
They're cute. They're
you so need cute. Water. It's hot. You start being the mom there.
But now I feel like if somebody asks Meg out, I'm just like, oh, you guys are getting Italian food? I love Italian food. Let me grab my jacket. I'm just like that annoying person now where you have to like keep me away from just bombing all of her dates.
Do you guys have a very similar type or is it completely separate?
It's so actually completely separate.
Really? So different.
Okay, go for it. What's your type? List them out.
Tall, lanky, nerdy, white guy.
Same!
What?
Meg!
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not alone.
You guys. Every cheerleader may like that.
I thought I was like the only one that was into.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm like, give me some bronze skin.
Oh, that's my sister.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's so different.
I might be a little bit into Asian guys.
Oh, or like fun.
A little bit. Diverse, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit blended.
Blended.
I don't wanna discriminate against any type, but you know. But I've found I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but getting older, when I was young, I was just like, give me the hot guy, give me the six pack abs, give me the leather jacket. Yes. And now if I meet somebody and they're not initially super attractive to me, I don't know if it is being in my 30s, but it is a little bit of like, it's not the body, it's the being. It's really, I don't know. I like to give people an opportunity to surprise me. Not saying
you're getting some depth.
I don't know.
In your old age.
I'm just saying that it used to be like, that guy's hot, and it was physicality that was the instant attractor. And now I feel like I'm attracted to intelligence. I'm attracted to their view on the world and how they treat their mother and how they treat children and you know, wait staff at the restaurant. It's just,
oh God. Yeah. That's so important.
Yeah. And I found that lots of guys that I'm not initially attracted to physically at first, give me a month and I'll be like, let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. I feel the exact same way. I'm dealing with something right now where I'm so close to one of my friends and like, I have trust issues, but he's one of the people that I can really trust. And, like, we have such a good rapport. We're, like, little inner kids playing. Aww. And it's my favorite thing. Like, when you find someone that you can just be yourself with, be silly. You don't have to try to be funny or smart. Like, you already are all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I'm dealing with is, like, the pheromones. Like, pheromones and liking the way they smell and, like, the way their neck is when you're in it. Like, that's a part of it that is more, like, primal and physical, but like it's not matching up. I'm like, oh, if someone like held a gun to my head, God forbid, and was like, marry someone, like I would marry this guy. Mm-hmm. Except for like the pheromones aren't there. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And
pretty
I wonder,
recently, actually.
But I've been kind of thinking, I've been struggling with this too, because I'm like, how important is that? And the answer that I've gotten through kind of like looking through into my deeper self or whatever is that it's really quite important. It can't be ignored. And just like what you said, when you find somebody that is like your other half and you're so comfortable and silly and fun, and then if you don't have that kind of animalistic, like,
right,
I want to rip your clothes off right now.
Yeah.
Then where do you go? And then I get scared because I'm like, what happens 10 years from now when we're sick of each other and we're, I just feel like you have to have that initial spark because it kind of, I don't want to say it dies after time, but it kind of mellows out regardless of how strong it is in the beginning.
Absolutely.
I think that like you can have so many different kinds of relationships with so many different kinds of people, you know, like with this guy that you're talking about, maybe just have that like really close love for each other that isn't sexual.
Right.
And that's okay.
Like, what are you going to do?
I love that I have to decide
right now. How does this story end?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
Were you guys friends for a really long time?
We've dated actually in the past. So like 7 years ago, we have already dated, but like we haven't done all of the inner work on ourselves to understand like who we truly are. We were like immature and controlling and just kind of like all over the place. And so now we, after such a long time, coming back and like being who we really are and our souls are connecting, but I'm not like all the way in. So it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. If you don't want to answer this question, please don't feel like, but how do you?
Meg's face is so
Meg's I was like, how can you not answer after that intro to a question? Like, no matter how uncomfortable I felt, I would just feel like it was copping out if I didn't answer
Meg
it.
Always says that I'm too blunt and I make people feel uncomfortable.
That's probably just me. I'm sure Megan probably feels comfortable. Okay, now with that build up, ask
but
the question.
But no, this question's stupid. But I wonder, you know, if you were friends or you dated before and then you kept being friends and stuff, what kind of brought you back together in maybe a romantic way, or has that happened yet? Like, what is it? Is it like all of a sudden you're sitting in a movie theater and he brushes your hand and you're like, huh? Or what is it?
It is interesting. Well, this particular situation, like, we weren't friends for so long. But I think that an issue that I have with people that I've been intimate with in my past, if they came back, I would almost be gun shy because I'm like, we've already done this before. We've already given it our all. And then we've already had a falling out. We realize we don't work. And so when I hear my friends like get into relationships again and again and with the same person and it goes back and forth, it's like at some point, when are you going to know that that's not okay? And like you need something else. But on the other hand, it's like, why are you holding people to their pasts? If that was them back then, all you have is now. And so why don't you act on the now?
Well, I think that the difference is like, for example, in my last relationship, we broke up and got back together and broke up and got back together. But each time it was like a period of like 3 months that we broke up. It sounds like you've been separated from this guy for like years. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of personal growth has happened. So I think if the time period is like longish, then maybe you can like revisit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, rather than like jumping in and out so fast.
Think about you at 23 and you at 33. It's like,
oh my God. 23 and 25.
That is so true. That is so true.
It's crazy.
Oh.
I don't know where you guys are at right now, but now that we're on the topic of this and we're really getting deep in here, it's like sometimes I'm just nervous to like commit all the way for the rest of my life.
Oh my gosh. I'm
really? Why
right
would you be nervous
you?
About that? It just seems like such a lighthearted decision to try to make.
Okay, Meg and I are from Utah. All of our friends got married at basically 20 years old, if not younger. And I think I'm the only one out of my friends back home that isn't married.
Okay.
And
it
is,
but even our friends here that are like not younger are married too.
Yeah, everyone's
like
getting married right now.
Like all of them.
But it is scary thinking about waking up with this person every day for the rest of my life is like, bleh.
My thing is when there's labels put onto something, there's so much more pressure and it almost like inherently changes the balance of it. So like whenever I get close enough to be someone's girlfriend, as soon as I am their girlfriend, everything changes.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to do things as much anymore because I have to, it feels like. And like everything is just so different. And so my goal would be to like just wake up every day and go, you still want to do this? You still want to be with me? I still want to be with you. Let's go. But then at some point, I know I'm going to want to be married. So it's like,
I resonate. All that stuff. I got goosebumps because of how much I like connected with what you just said.
Right.
What do we do?
I don't get a jacket, I guess.
Okay.
For the goosebumps.
I like that answer.
It's scary, man. We need to find like female partners to always be friends with so we won't ever be alone and have a house together in Italy.
So like,
love this.
And then men can come by.
Should we be gay?
No.
Is I love that the answer? Should we be?
What is? I'm just saying we can all hang out together so we don't have fear of being alone. And then when a man comes around that fits, you know, checks all the boxes, we can wave goodbye to them.
But you know, like, okay, sorry. I was kind of listening to you, but mostly like thinking about what Megan said, which was,
that's kind of what Meg says to me all the time. I'm kind of listening to you.
Can you go back to that thing you just said? I'm listening.
But like, you can get married and you can get divorced.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Like, I just went through crazy breakup. I don't know why I'm offering that information
10 years.
To everybody.
10 years?
Sorry. Yeah. I'm offering the information.
Oh my God.
We don't have to. I mean, we can if you want. Like, but what I'm saying is like, things aren't as permanent as you think they are.
Yeah.
Even with the labels, even with society's pressure. Like,
right.
You can still change. Like, it makes it harder, obviously. Like, it's so much easier just to be like, hey, do you want to still be here? I kind of feel like I'm more along that line.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something so comfortable about being like, or cozy about saying like, I have this person.
Totally. Yeah.
I can get why that is like so desirable for
sure. Of course. I just have so much I don't know where it all comes from. I mean, like, from being hurt before, but even in the terms of, like, posting on social media, this, I don't know if anyone else can resonate with this, but, like, I don't feel like I need to post on my accounts about my person because that's, like, I use mine for business. Mm-hmm. So I post some of myself, some of my life, but I've learned the hard way of, like, I used to put everything online with my boyfriends, and it felt like I made him feel less loved until the cameras were on. Mm. So it's like, oh, I would never want to make someone feel that way. So now I don't put my relationship online.
I'm the same.
And that, I don't know, has it ever affected you in dating when people are like, why don't you put me on your social media? It's like, that's not why I'm dating you. I want to be with you in person. I don't need to like show the world our love because of like someone's insecurities. Like yeah. You should know that I love you here.
It actually makes me uncomfortable sometimes when people post about their relationship a lot in really intimate ways. Mm. I almost feel like, whoa, 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 I don't want to see this. You know, like somebody straddling somebody in bed, like just woke up in Monaco. It's just like, whoa, that's not how you wake up, first of all.
You had to put this on a tripod.
Yeah, you did not wear that lingerie to sleep. I know how itchy that is, you know. So it's kind of weird when people get, I think it's sweet if people want to post about their wife or girlfriend mm-hmm. or whatever, but sometimes it's way too much information. But I'm with you. I don't like posting about my significant other very much because it feels like it's a private thing that you want to keep to yourself and it's special. And it doesn't
really
belong to anybody
too.
Else.
I agree. I know that I have some friends that their significant other forces them to post stuff because they don't feel loved in the relationship. And so they're like, put it on social media and then that takes care of it.
And I have not heard of that scenario before.
It's crazy. It's kind of way more prevalent than you would think.
That's crazy.
It sounds like an insecurity of them.
It really is.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
A lot of it is like, if you show the world that you love me, then like we're fine, even if we're not. Like anytime that people start ramping up and posting more frequently about them in their relationship, it's like something is wrong. Instantly, which is probably me thinking the wrong thing, but I'm going, oh, they're going through a rough patch. Mm. And it's like, that's probably not true, mm-hmm. of course, for all of them. But like for some of them, it is.
Yeah.
Because I know firsthand that like people will ask that.
Mm-hmm.
If someone asked that for me, I think I would have to break up with them.
Yeah, I think that is a real big red flag. Like,
I
really
agree.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Dating in this day and age is so insane.
Oh, it's so nutty.
And I don't know what's going to happen. As I've tried dating apps, and it's just like, it's not the same as just meeting someone in person or mutual mm-hmm. friends. But then the issue with mutual friends is like, if something doesn't work out, then your friend group is divided.
Mm-hmm.
There's no winning.
It is really, that's why when you find somebody that you feel comfortable with and you can be your silly self with, that's when it comes into like, can I figure out these things that don't work? Because it's so rare to find somebody that you do connect with.
Right. But what if it's the pheromones that are not there? What do I do? Do I buy different body wash for him? What do I do?
Maybe.
That's so bad, though. You've heard of like sniff dating. Have you heard of that? It's like you put a garment that you've worn in a bag, and then I don't know, I've never been, but I'm imagining that they write whatever, a number or something, and you open up the bags and you take a big whiff. And if you're into it, then you meet each other.
Let's go.
If you guys, okay, should we stop this early and go sniff dating?
Why does that sound so weird?
Yeah, it seems so creepy.
It does seem creepy, but then it's like, true.
I bet it works.
You know, like when you really love someone and like they leave their shirt at your house. I remember when I was 20, I was dating this guy and he left his shirt at my house, or I borrowed a shirt of his or something like that. And I like used it as a blanket, like mm-hmm. next to my face for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, dare to be weird, but do you ever, talking about smells, sometimes when a guy that I really like was sweaty and he had his BO all out, I was like, yeah. Give it to me. Like, it just smells so good. Like, if you really love somebody, sometimes their body odor smells good.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like pheromones that have gone rotten, right? Rotten pheromones.
Yeah. That doesn't make it sound as attractive.
Spoiled,
some
sweaty
reason,
pheromones.
Body odor sounded more attractive to me.
I know. I was so fatal for this guy, the same t-shirt guy, that I think he traveled overseas, and instead of like I don't know why I was like, this will help me not miss him as much. I bought like a travel size of his cologne and just like sprayed it when I missed him.
That's so cute.
Is it?
Oh my gosh.
That is cute. I feel like it would have the opposite effect though.
It would make you miss him more.
Oh. It would for me, for sure. Like, because it's a reminder. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
For somebody like you, I mean, you have your own perception of you, and like, I just stalk you online, but like, how is it going on dating apps? Because I would imagine you meet so many interesting people in your job and work and traveling and, you know, podcasts, just in everything. How is that when you meet people in person? And is it almost an overload? Because sometimes I feel like when my friends work in an office job and they see the same people every day, they don't have as much kind of temptation as meeting so many people that are new and different every single day in different cities or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like online, I don't really meet up with many people. I was like on, what are the dating apps? Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and Raya are like the main ones. Mm-hmm. So I think I was on Bumble. I had signed up for Bumble the first day. Or like I've been on it before. I went on one date and met a good friend of mine. And that was fun. But like after a couple months of not doing it, that's like the whole cycle of it is like download, talk, delete. Yeah. Download, talk, delete. And you always end up deleting it.
Yeah.
But then you always end up re-downloading it. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that counts more for them. Like, does that count as two downloads if you delete and download it again? So maybe we're doing them a favor
maybe.
By getting, like, exasperated by it enough to leave. And then we come back. Yeah. But, like, I don't love that I don't have as much privacy as I thought I would like. Because I signed up for Bumble and then, like, people on Twitter would screenshot my dating account and then, like, tweet it to me. And was like, you're on Bumble, or like, is this on you on Bumble? And it's like, yeah. So stop.
Yeah,
you know, there's
stop.
There's no room for that. So then I signed up for Raya, which I don't know if everyone listening knows what Raya is. Essentially, it's a Bumble or Hinge dating app, but for people that are in the entertainment field. So you have to get verified through Instagram in order to get accepted. I think that's like the criteria of it. And you have to have someone basically vouching for you that is like, yes, like Dia can be on this. Yes, Meg can be on this. And then you have to go through your own process to even get on this app. It's also money. I think it's like $8 a month. And I went on that. And I think I met up with one guy off of it. But the thing about Raya is like everyone's in this entertainment industry and everyone's like going through the same thing. And so when you're trying to meet someone like for the first time, instead of like talking about real things, you end up talking about your resumes.
Yes.
And like I hate talking about what I do.
Yes.
Because I just want to do it for my work. And when I talk to people, like even in like friend group situations, we're all like acting and producing things, and it's like it's our job and we like it, but I also don't ever want to talk about my work. I would rather like talk about our fears and what's going on with you and like what was really great about your week or like anything that's like deeper than just like our day to day. It just feels so annoying to me. And so like when I have to do that on a date, then I'm like, okay, talk to me about like how your parents are. Like, did you feel loved or what? Like, let's get into it.
Yeah, it is true. LA feels like just resumes and I mean, it is the same thing. The last thing I want to talk about is how you get a song in a TV show or like what it is like writing for sync in the studio or anything like that. It just feels weird.
Right. And I think it's the easiest thing to talk about is like, what do you do? Like yeah. Everyone asks that because I think we're all, when we don't know anybody, we're all just like, here's this topic that we could maybe talk about because we all know what's going on. But at the same time, it's like first dates in general, I think I've mentioned this before, is like they seem like job interviews. You're basically going on a job interview or auditioning for the next date.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, when can we like take our masks off and just be who we are?
Why can't we just talk about food for an hour?
I'm in.
That's what I would talk about.
When's the last first date that you've been on?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
And I actually had a really great date that wasn't about any of this.
Amazing. Set the scene.
Okay. So I've been in a relationship for 10 years. We broke up. I didn't think I was ever going to go on another date again. Because, you know, that's what you think.
You know.
Like, I'm never going to go on another date again. So we broke up in February. So yesterday was my first date since that 10-year, in 10 years.
My God.
Actually, it was her second
since
date.
Since I was 24.
Meg, wow. It was your second date. She went on a hike.
It was your second date?
She went on a hike the first date, and she wouldn't call it a date because it was a hike. And I was like, it's a freaking date. And then she's like, no, it's not a date. I said, did he come pick you up? Yes, it's a date. So it's your second date, but go on.
Okay, but also, do you guys have guy friends that you go hiking with? Like, yes. I do.
Do they pick you up for the hike, Megan?
Yeah.
No, I met him there, and I didn't think it was a date, and then it ended up being a date.
Oh, so this is confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
second date.
I knew that this was a date because he paid for the meal. Okay. He opened all my doors.
Oh my God.
He said that I looked lovely against the LA skyline, but not in a creepy way, and in such a genuine way.
Wait, how could that be creepy? That's so nice.
I don't know, like, babe, you look hot in front of the, I don't know. I'm really
in front
bad
of nature and God's gift of the earth.
But you guys, it was like, it was talking about food and talking about like social issues and like what we were passionate about, like not just in work. And like, it was so genuine and about like, my breakup, which I wasn't like, oh, I got, I wasn't like baggage stuff. It's just like moving forward and changing and growing and accepting that it's okay to not be perfect. And just like the conversations, I was just like, I really hate that I'm loving talking to you right now.
Interesting. Maybe we're going on dates with the wrong people.
I'm so sorry because I want to relate, but I actually had like a really great date, and I just have to say that.
Stand in your power, girl.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to go well, like, just because it's been so long, like 10 years, that everybody's like, dating sucks. And I was like, okay, dating sucks, I guess. But it was so fun.
I'm so happy you had a great time. Are you going to see him again?
For sure.
Yeah. I love it.
I'll go on this third date.
Dia, you can come.
I'm fully the prepared. Water and the blankets. Mom has come.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Toy Story 4? I haven't seen that. I can't wait. I'll grab my jacket.
Just a look on his face. Wonderful.
Wonderful. I think we have set the tone of where we're at. We'll take a quick break and then we'll help some other people. How does that sound?
Yes.
So good.
Okay, we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Right now, we are going to take a voice message from someone that needs our help. But before we actually get into that, I wanted to know if you guys have something that you're completely obsessed with that you recently discovered that you need everyone else to know about.
Like a product?
Anything. It could be like a TV show, a product, a way of living, a song, a cut of jean. It could be anything.
Oh, I know what Meg's obsessed with. She's obsessed with Bay ice cream in Little Tokyo.
Bay
That's
ice cream?
So what I'm obsessed with.
What is that?
It's this little spot called Bay, B-A-E, and they have Fruity Pebbles ice cream that Meg like literally is like, do we have time to go to Bay? Do we have time to go to Bay?
Even I'm not an ice cream person.
Yeah.
I wasn't until I came here.
She could eat like one spoonful. And even when we were recording the music video for American Spirit, they gave us 30 minutes to go grab lunch. And Meg was like, can we go to Bay instead of lunch? What?
And then, like, we couldn't go. And then the next day, I was like, hey, Tia, can we go to bay today? And she's like, who are you?
Yeah. So that's Meg's obsession.
No, that's a good one.
What's my obsession? Can you think of one?
Yeah, give each other your obsessions. That's
it's
so
your
cute.
Obsession lately. Matcha.
They're both food.
Oh, yeah. They're both food. I have to have matcha in the morning or I go crazy.
You do that every day. I'd say you're pretty into matcha.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm trying to think of what mine would be food-based.
We're both just staring at like, what?
I'm like, have I ever had food before? Let's see. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, what's been really good lately? It's hard to tell. The Fruity Pebbles thing sounds incredible.
Oh, my God.
You should go try it.
Where is it?
It's in Little Tokyo right by like the little cute area with all the lights.
I'm surprised I don't know the literal address
right now.
Hamasushi.
It's 5 minutes away. I'm hearing it's 5 minutes away.
What?
It's quite close. Maybe we'll go after.
Okay.
Maybe I'll meet someone there that I like their pheromones. Oh, my God. I almost can't wait. I can't wait to find that person and just go like, oh, we've done it. We've done it.
Yeah.
We found each other and we've done it.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
It's hard, though, because whenever anybody talks about a person like that, they always say things like, I never thought I would meet somebody until I found this person and I just knew. And I hate when people say that.
Really? That doesn't give you hope?
It doesn't give me hope. It just makes me feel like I've missed something and I'm like blindly walking down the wrong path while everybody's, you know, in the know.
Yeah. But I feel like it'll feel like the wrong path until it's the right path. Does that make sense? Like you're on the path and you're like, is this the wrong path? Oh my God, I have no idea. Oh my God, it's the right path. Here's this person.
I don't know. I just have a visual of me being 70 and alone in a cabin.
At least you're in a cabin. That's kind of nice.
That's true. It's nicely decorated. It smells good.
It's just decorated with the cologne of all your exes, just in one suicide cologne. That's what it's called, right? Suicide in the fountain drinks when you get like a little bit of each.
Is it?
I think it's called that.
That's intense.
Yeah, I thought you went real dark there.
Oh, no.
Like, whoa.
That was too dark.
Whoa.
No, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I went to Burger King yesterday and they have Surge. Do you remember Surge? It's like
no, like lemon. Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's like Mountain Dew plus Sprite put together, but like for the 90s. It's back.
That sounds gross.
Yeah, it is.
What are things that you loved as a kid that you wouldn't eat today ever? Like Spam.
Fish sticks.
Oh, fish sticks were so good.
They're
probably
so good.
McDonald's.
What? Oh, I love McDonald's.
I don't know. I'm like a Wendy's. I don't know all the other ones, but McDonald's, I feel like I just can't eat.
Really?
I think I just heard a weird story about their chicken nuggets. Maybe it may or may not.
I mean, there was like a beacon one.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, I was like, I can't. But I don't know. It probably should be fine.
It probably should be fine. Okay, I'll give you guys the choice. We have two questions to choose from. One of them is called Tone Deaf, and one of them is called Boyfriend's Friend.
Oh, wow.
Which... I can go in depth a little bit more to see. Something is being uncomfortable.
I feel like boyfriend's friend would
Let's go boyfriend's friend. Okay, here comes.
Because I'm definitely not going to know the answer to this, so let's try this.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Megan. I'm currently 23 years old, and my boyfriend and I have been dating for just over a year. At the beginning of my relationship, my boyfriend was super upfront and honest with me and made sure I was okay with the fact that his best friend was a girl, which I was, and I even met her. She's super nice, and we got along really well. However, as time went on, I noticed they were always texting each other, good morning, good night, what are you up to, talking on the phone, sending pictures, updating basically every time of the day. And just overall, they were, like, really, really close. I spoke up about how the relationship was making me uncomfortable and how I'd prefer if they could hang out but have certain boundaries in place when they're together. However, he said he would just stop being friends with her altogether. But I didn't want him to do that. I urged him not to do that. But I just wanted to make sure that he knew that overall I was really uneasy about the whole dynamic. Was I wrong bringing it up and telling him that he shouldn't do certain things with her? Is it bad that my boyfriend responded that way? Can you help me? Thanks, Megan.
Oh, so cute.
I want to hug her.
Have you ever been in a situation like this, dating someone where their best friend was of the opposite sex or a sex that was like threatening to who you were?
No, but I have a girlfriend that is going through this same situation right now.
What did you tell her?
Well, she just kind of told me how she came to terms with it, because I guess it's happened before, and then this girl came back into her boyfriend's life, and she said that she just learned to be comfortable, and she had him write down a written document of the boundaries that he wouldn't cross.
Oh.
And that they both agreed to that.
That's interesting.
As far as this young lady, that is real something, isn't it?
I feel like if you feel uneasy, then I don't know, if you were dating, if you had a best guy friend and you were dating somebody, I feel like you would make sure it's on you to make sure they feel super comfortable with the situation, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that, like, meeting people, if you have, like you're saying, dating someone that's your best friend, regardless, like, you're the person that you're dating, I'm sorry. I'm on the clock. That was a Slack notification for everyone that's never heard that before. If you're dating someone, I think that it's your responsibility to make sure everyone is on the same page with it. Like, your best friend and your significant other should also love each other. And if not, they should just, like, get along with each other for the sake of you. But, like, I have a best friend that's a guy, but we don't talk on the phone all the time. And if we do, like, it's a couple minutes. It's maybe like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just catching up every now and then. But like every day, and then good morning, good night, what are you up to?
Yep. That's good morning, good night thing is probably the bit that sounded the most intimate out of everything.
Right.
I say no.
To what? Just a general no?
I'm telling her to bail, because
I'm also telling her to bail.
All the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, sometimes when I was younger and my relationships, I think I would make like kind of a lot of excuses and try to like, maybe it's okay. I think I can force them into this box. Maybe. And then I think that you just kind of have to be like, it's like a respect for yourself type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to treat myself right. And if this person isn't loving me the way that I think I deserve to be loved, then I can let them go.
Right. And I think that takes a certain level of confidence and like security in yourself, where like being 23, nothing about age, but like when I was 23, I did not have that. And I think I'm only.
Oh, for sure. I
think
have
I'm
that.
Getting that now. Like, I'm 28 now, and I think I'm just learning like to cut things off that aren't serving me. And I'd seen something online the other day that was like, red flags stop being red flags when your confidence. Oh, wait, I don't want to ruin it. Talk amongst yourselves really quickly while I find this.
Well, I think that, yeah, there seems to be some insecurities from her side and his side. But
that's intense. I have so many good male friends, and I feel like, you know, David never calls me for hours or texts me goodnight or anything. That's really intense.
Yeah, that's beyond a friendship. That's flirting.
It's flirting. Yeah. This says, as we gain confidence in ourselves, red flags are no longer red flags. They are deal breakers.
And, oh, yeah. Damn.
And I'm like, yes, I legit had to like last week clean up a bunch of like ties that I've just kind of like frivolously had everywhere. And I think like when I had to explain it to one of these boys that I was like, hey, I don't feel emotionally like that anymore, when I dated him a couple of summers ago. And it was like I had to tell him that I wasn't in a space that I was honest with myself way back when, because I didn't want to, number one, hurt you, but I also didn't want to like be as upfront and feel like I was doing something bad. So instead of being like, we are not compatible, this isn't right for either of us, let's just like cut our losses and be friends, instead I was like, it's because of this reason, it's because of this reason, kind of like dancing around the truth. And then now it's like, of course that's not the right thing to do, because you're letting someone go, but not all the way. So they still like hold like a flame of hope for if maybe something might happen, versus being like, nah, dude, this isn't going to happen. And like, let's move on from here.
Yeah, but that's not easy. Like what you just said, like even now, like I'm 34 and I would still, like it took me a long time out of my relationship. I mean, my relationship was long and I'm older obviously, but like it's so hard to, sometimes it's hard to let go. Like we were talking about changing, like it's hard to let go. It's hard to face the truth. It's hard to be honest with each other and say, you know, like we'll be better off kind of like on our own or morphing our relationship into a friendship, perhaps. Like,
right.
That takes so much courage.
So much.
And authenticity. And it's hard to get to that point.
It is probably
at 23, the hardest thing. It would be really hard to get to that point.
Yeah. I also don't think that you could get to that point without doing so much work on yourself. And like people that are people that are 23 haven't like reached the part in, I feel like once you get in your later 20s is when you really start like soul searching, I guess, and like figuring out who you are. Because before we're just winging it. I mean, no, I think we're always going to be winging it.
Yeah.
But at least now we're like analyzing our winging it and go like, how does this show up in the rest of our life? How do I use this like story that I've told myself about myself from so long? How is that affecting how I move forward? What are my relationships like? How am I showing up in the world? Like it's, you don't get to that until a lot of shit happens to you and you go, okay, now I need to look at myself. So I also would say to get out of this as well, because if it makes you feel bad, don't do it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do it.
Yeah. And also, like, I think that the thing that would have helped me before in previous relationships would be, like, you think that you're stuck there. You think that there aren't other options. But you're not stuck. Like, you're not, like, you can leave and it's going to be okay and you're going to find somebody else. It just doesn't seem like that right now.
It doesn't seem like that. Right. 1,000%. Yeah. I think a lot of people, and I've been in this situation too, and that's why it is so hard to like finally break something off, because you're like, well, if I break this off, then I have truly nothing. Then I am actually alone, versus like kind of suffering subtly until you get the courage to go away. But then in doing that, like you're not being respectful to you or the person that you're dating. So you're already hurting everybody by not being upfront. And I guess in a way hurting them in one fell swoop versus like trickling this like ivy of mean and pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, she's got three no's.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't think I've ever given like a definitive answer either.
Wow.
But like I'm just like, you'll find someone that will do that to you if you that's will, an issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say that is nice. Oh, that was about your friend. I was like, is that they made a list of boundaries, but that was your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like something I would do, but I would also hope that it wouldn't have to come down to that.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to be policing your boyfriend. You just want to be his girlfriend. I always find myself, if I'm ever in a relationship where I feel like I'm playing other roles, like I'm playing your mom right now, I'm playing your therapist, I'm playing your financial advisor.
Right.
No. I just want to be your girlfriend. I want to be the person you come home to and we order pizza and watch TV. I don't want to be policing you either. That just sounds, it's too much.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that we all are kind of like, when we get into a relationship, we're kind of hoping that all this one person will be all of those roles. And like, we'll be our motivator and we'll be our therapist and we'll be like our dad. And it's like, oh my God, we shouldn't do that. But like, I still do. I'm still like, oh, you're the answer for everything. And that's not the case.
I definitely still do that.
Yeah, I'm so used to like putting all of my eggs in their basket when it's like, no, this basket is so tiny. Yeah. We only have the egg for love. Yeah. Stop putting all these other eggs in here.
Even just the two eggs of like friend and lover. Like sometimes like you can have other friends, not friends that text you in the morning and in the evening, hello, you know, good morning, good night. But like, friendship and like other kinds of companions, different kinds of people, you know, like your lover cannot be everything for you.
Yeah, I think the quicker we realize that, the quicker we can feel happiness and feel like we can commit forever. Once we're like, oh, you're not the answer for everything. You're just the answer, not just the answer, but like you're the answer for my heart. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Yeah. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but that will be very exciting when I do.
Yeah.
I feel whole. Do you feel whole?
I feel good.
I feel really good about this conversation.
Today's a good day.
And everybody could be that way. Every day could be that way. Ah, oh, we can do anything in our lives. That's so cool.
That is so true.
Now I'm hype. Okay, we've helped this girl. Best of luck to you in navigating this circumstance. Anytime you get into what, actually, this would be a good little wrap up for this tip or this question. What tip would you give of anyone getting into a relationship? Like if this girl went on to another relationship after this one, or any person into a new one, what's like one piece of advice that is kind of like a blanket statement?
Don't get into a relationship.
Oh my gosh, Meg.
At all?
For a while. Like don't immediately like be like, I'm out of a relationship. I need somebody else.
Yes, of course.
Like, sit for a while.
Yeah.
Sit for a while and like kind of chill.
Yeah.
And like be yourself. Find out who that is. Because when you're with somebody, I lost a little bit of myself.
Of course.
And I had to find who that was again. Mm-hmm. And that took some time. And I wouldn't have found that if I immediately found another support person to be my everything. You know, so I would say for a minute.
Yeah.
Don't get in a relationship.
I'm so into that. Yeah.
I would say pay attention to how they act when things go wrong, when the car breaks down, mm-hmm. when something bad happens, hopefully not, but pay attention to how people act when things aren't going well, because that's who you're going to be with when shit goes down. I met this woman who was with her husband. I asked, when did you know he was the one? And she said they were rafting together in Colorado and he had thousands of dollars of camera equipment. He was taking all these photos and somehow the cameras got in the water and they got ruined. Yeah. And she just watched him handle it with so much grace. And he kind of was like, well, we're on a trip together. This isn't going to ruin our great trip. That sucks. The cameras are broken, but okay. I'm just going to save up from some new ones. Let's go have a picnic. And it was just
wow.
that moment where she said, this is my husband.
I have chills everywhere.
Yeah, that's just so nice because, you know, you meet somebody and then all of a sudden something bad happens and they turn into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and
right.
treat people rudely or, you know, I'm just having a bad day, so screw this. Or, like, the barista gives you a coffee and they don't say thank you and all this stuff. And it's just this weird, you know, who is this person all of a sudden?
Right. I think that if you want to learn who somebody is really quick, within an hour or maybe a couple, travel with them or do an escape room. Like, you will find out who you're dating quick.
Dia, in an escape room, will not read the clues, but she'll just go around, like, poking at things and pushing buttons and see what she can find.
But I got us closer than anybody else.
Your strategy doesn't work. Yeah. Not saying it doesn't work.
That is good, though. Sometimes when I can't find the clues or, like, the clues don't make sense, I start, like, thinking like an engineer, like, where are the magnets? Where are these little, like, sensors? And then I start trying to figure out that. Sometimes you need to.
Yeah.
My advice, if you're getting into a relationship, is when a problem arises, because there'll always be some sort of something that is friction or conflict, is try to attack the problem as a team. Like, it's you guys versus the problem, not you versus your significant other.
I love that.
That's mine. I've not been able to try it yet because I haven't been in a relationship in a while.
You seem ready.
I feel
think
like
I might be.
I feel like
soon.
You.
Yeah,
definitely after this conversation, I feel like I'm hyped up now. You guys have brought it out of me. Okay, usually we have a section called Tip Jar, which is a couple of them. But since we're running out of time, we will do one closing tip. But since you guys are beautiful singers, I would love to hear a Tip Jar jingle. Doesn't have to be good. Doesn't have to be together.
So, like, sing a tip?
I'm just going to say now for a section called Tip Jar, and then you do anything you want. It's called Tip Jar, so that's all you need to know. Make a little anything you want. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Okay. And now for a segment called Tip Jar.
Don't give up. Keep an open heart.
What is this, like a 1920s Fitzgerald song all of a sudden?
I don't know. Should I try to remember what you said? Do that again.
Do that again.
Don't give up. Keep an open heart. And don't date assholes if you know they're an asshole from the start.
Ooh, yeah. I was going to harmonize with you, but I was got so intrigued by your message, so I started snapping.
I'll produce the snaps, and that's what I can contribute.
Oh, man.
Love it.
Next
song idea.
Be nice to people if they hit your car, because they're probably very angry and going through a divorce.
Ooh.
That happened. We got hit by a truck, and he was very mad. And he was mad at me because I was like, dude, you hit my car. And he said, you shouldn't be driving such a small car because I'm in a mini Prius.
Issue.
And then I actually felt bad. I was like, I guess I should. And then
you know, Meg and I were just chilling out. I'm like, he's probably going through some stuff, man. Let's just chill.
And then we ate some cake.
Yeah, we ate some cake. Okay.
And then it's always fine after cake.
That's true. We had strawberry cheesecake, and we were like, it could have been worse.
This could have been chocolate. That was beautiful. And those are two of my first, or my favorite songs now.
Thank you.
Those are my two favorite songs. Okay, the only tip that I want to ask before we close this up is a tip that you would give to your younger self. We were talking about the previous girl that wrote in was 23 years old, so we'll use that. What advice would you give your 23-year-old self from where you are right now?
I got asked this question yesterday on my date.
Oh, my God.
What was
did we
answer?
Go on a date together?
I would say to be patient and slow down, because when I was 23, I just wanted everything to happen for me. And I wanted the album to be a gold record. And I wanted to be touring the world and performing with all these crazy people. And I kind of wasn't focused in on writing good songs that connected with me. And any show is an opportunity to connect with people. And I felt like I was just so trying to get success that I wasn't really enjoying learning and growing. Like I have over the years, kind of these dry spells have been the times when I've honed in on my craft and writing with Meg. And I feel like whenever we've had our darkest times, we've written the best songs together, because we could just kind of talk things out through music. So I would just tell my younger self to calm the fuck down. And just everything will happen as it should happen. Just keep working hard.
I love it. Meg?
I would say stop focusing so much on boys. Because this is the thing, like media, like Disney princess shows, like teach you, like, you need to find a man. You need to find. And I know we kind of talked about that a little bit. Yeah, but it's, it kind of gets ingrained in you. And I think I was always like, no matter what was happening, I just felt like, yeah, not complete without a guy. Like, I'm weird. Like, this started in elementary. So you're saying like a 23-year-old woman. This started as like a 4-year-old girl. You know, like, I need my Prince Charming. I need the guy. And I think I would say, like, dude, like, look at your friendships. How awesome is your family? How cool are, like, the Red Mountains that surround, like, your, like, little city? Like, enjoy all of that and stop making these weird fantasies and, like, doing, like, falling over yourself to get some attention.
Right.
You know? Say that.
I love that. Wow. I would love to talk to my 23-year-old self. Just slap her for a second.
What?
Not in a mean way. I'm just like, stop this. Stop, like, all this negative self-talk. Like, you're the one, like, you're getting in your own way.
Do you feel like you were negative in your...
Yeah, I also feel like up until recently, like, I've used self-deprecating humor so much, almost like a crutch, because it's like, if I say something bad about myself, even if it's funny, then nobody else can say it first, because I've already put myself down. So, like, I'm not going to be fazed if you say something bad about me, because I already think that. So it was like, okay, there's got to be a way that all of the self-deprecating humor is also ingraining in me, like a fantasy from Disney movies. It's like, oh, if you hear this so much, then you're going to start to believe it at some point.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yesterday, I will share this one thing before we go away, but yesterday I was eating dinner with a friend and I, like, blacked out on saying a self-deprecating joke, and they were, like, going with it as, like, I don't know. They were yes-anding my joke just so we could do some improv comedy, I guess, at the table. And then instead of me knowing that I started it, I got really offended because I thought that he had said my insecurities first. But I had said them, but I just blacked out that I had said it. And it created this whole thing. And I was like, I would never, ever say that about myself. And he was like, I don't know what to tell you, but I didn't say it first. And I was like, oh, no.
Whoa.
Something is going on with me.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a lot of, like, really huge revelations and changes are happening. And it's very exciting because once you start, like, figuring out what the problem is, you can figure out a way to readjust for the better. And, like, to know that the self-deprecating stuff was so inherent that I didn't even know I said it is crazy.
It sounds like you're very self-aware, though, with, and I mean, not just even in that situation, but throughout this conversation, it sounds like you're very aware of yourself. And I think that's so important because I feel like so many people do not investigate themselves and their past. And,
well, because it's painful.
It's so painful.
It hurts.
It's so,
why would you want to do that? Why do you think addiction is a thing?
Because it hurts.
Right. And it's easier to stay in, like, this ickiness if you've, like, made a home of your mm-hmm. sorrows and your, like, victim stories. You made a home of it. You've put art on the walls in this, like, glass case of basically, like, not being true or, like, you're being oblivious to actual reality. You're just like, I'm going to make this my space. No one can get in here. And, like, no emotion or love can go out or in. And you're just like, I'm just going to be in this, like, cast of emotions. You're like, cut that cast off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where the growth happens, yep. for sure.
And we're doing it. It's a beautiful day. And I'm like, now we're so sad. Megan Dia, this has been very fulfilling for me.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Thank you for coming. You guys have a new album coming out, or it yes. will be out by the time this is out. Is that right?
Yes, it's out. It's out on Spotify. It's called Happy Sad.
Happy Sad.
So check it out if you get a moment.
Oh, my gosh. What did you learn from doing this new project? Did you, like, discover anything about your artistry or yourselves or your relationship with each other?
Oh, man, should we start another podcast about that question you just asked? I feel like we just realized, well, at least I realized that we're stronger together. We took a long break, had a lot of falling outs with each other, just sibling things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, we did a lot of things separately that I wish we would have done together, that I always plan on us doing together. And for us to be together now, it's just so kind of magical. It sounds super cheesy, but I feel like I have my best friend again. And especially in LA,
I love it.
You know, in LA, when you just feel like you can't trust people and you don't really have somebody that has your back or, like, they really can support your creative vision, I feel like Meg and I just really support each other. And when we're writing music together, it just feels like we're almost finishing each other's sentences.
I did it this time.
This time. Yeah, last time she's like, we finished each other and I said something like cornflakes. Like, it just didn't work out. So
that's very hilarious. Check out Happy Sad. Where else can people find you on the internet aside from Spotify?
Instagram's just Megan Dia Music. There's mostly pictures of us eating ice cream.
Love it. I love it as much as you love ice cream. If you guys listening have a sticky situation or burning concern, please email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. I had a great time. I don't really want this to end, but it must. So thank you so much. Follow Megan Dia. We're all living a great life.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.